Hi there. Thank you for joining with me again today. We're continuing our little series on walking with Jesus. Yesterday I talked about my own encounter with him. And I talked about my encounter with this hippie who'd been looking for the truth. And I replied, I found him. And now I'm exploring him to the limits. There are three final things I would like to say. The first is that I have sought to simplify my life. I've always been struck and challenged by the three mentions of the phrase one thing in the scriptures. You can find them there in Psalm 27 verse 4, Luke chapter 10 verse 24, and Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. We're living in a world where so many, many things demand our attention. And many of them are quite worthy. But as Jesus said to Martha in the Luke passage, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary's chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You see, in the spinning of many plates, there is the certainty of anxiety and unbiblical stress. Even in church circles, we are encouraged and exhorted to set goals with such familiar mantras as, if you aim at nothing, you'll surely hit it. We're taught to dream, to envision, to plan, putting in deadlines and measuring points of our progress. All this is noteworthy in measure, but it is so easy to get swamped. I got seriously fed up with people who kept asking me and challenging me about visions and goals. There was almost a driving pressure to achieve things, to make things happen, and to make something of my time on earth. And so I looked carefully at all this, and in my imagination, I consulted with Paul, the apostle. Knowing that he was a man with a mission, fired with a deep sense of urgency and very hard working, I, in my imagination, asked him what his goals were. His opening words were, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. You find that in Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11. In a nutshell, he was elucidating that his goals were not to achieve anything as such, but to become like the one he followed. And out of that imaginary conversation, I wrote that Paul desired and chased after five things. Number one, to know him. Number two, to love him. Number three, to become like him. Number four, to be where he wants me to be. Number five, to do what he wants me to do. The second thing is that I want to recommend a book that has deeply influenced my life for over half a century. It's called The Imitation of Christ, and it was written by a monk called Thomas A. Kempis. His opening words were, he who follows me walks not in darkness, says the Lord. By these words of Christ, we are to advise to imitate his life and habits if we wish to be truly enlightened and free from all blindness of heart. Let our chief effort, therefore, be to study the life of Jesus Christ. That's just so powerful. In the preface of a newer translation released in 2004 by Hendrickson Publishers, Patricia Kleene, a Christian writer and book editor, wrote these words. She said that Thomas was a teacher and writer whose life was devoted to patterning his life after Jesus Christ. She added, by most accounts, Thomas's life and work were unremarkable when viewed in terms of achievement and notoriety. Thomas always focused on following Christ, and all his work flowed from that. Eugene Peterson commented about the book. He said, "This is not everyone's favorite, but it's on everyone's list. This is the most widely published and read book on spirituality in our tradition. It's amazing how well its medieval monkishness carried over into the modern world." The Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote, "I believe there is no one deeper, lovelier, more sympathetic, and more perfect than Jesus. Not only is there no one else like him, there never could be anyone like him." The third thing is that after over half a century following him and learning from him, I have found an important word: awareness. I realized that during my walk with him, I was gradually becoming more aware of who he is. And that process is continuing up to the present day. I'm still becoming more aware of him in my latter years. And so I'm now embarking on this journey to put down and speak about what I've seen and learned about Jesus, the eternal Son of God. And I'm inviting you, the listener, to join with me and make the journey with me. This will be somewhat a meander through the narratives and the conversations, picking out significant moments of his life. For me, it is a walk with him. There is a rough plan because we have the gospel accounts and we know where all this leads. But rather than get systematic in my approach, I'm seeing it as a strolling conversation with him, observing who he is, what he has done, what he thinks and feels about things, and of course what he says. As I walk this walk with him, I'm observing and taking note of these things. It's like ambling with him as he unfolds himself. Sometimes I can see the path ahead, and sometimes we stop and he opens things up. On the occasions that I have walked around the lakes near my home with friends, we start chatting and the conversation takes us on a journey. Usually there's no agenda, just a conversation with a friend. And that's how I'm looking at this series. I hope that makes sense. So during my own walk with him, I have seen much, I've learned much, but I know there is so much more to find out. And over the next few months, please come and walk with me on this journey with Jesus together, seeing and learning who he really is. God bless you for listening. Thank you for being with me, and we'll catch up some more tomorrow.